This is apologetics number 3. And you'll notice the heading is Sheol, Hades, Gehenna. And then there's a picture, and underneath the picture it says hell, mythology or scripture. Now that's what we're going to look into, as to what is hell, where does it come from, and see if our modern teaching is correct, or whether we have added a great deal to the Word of God that isn't there. Again, I only want to know truth, and I want you to know truth, and I'm perfectly willing to change or alter my position that it might reflect only the Word of God. Now, in order to do this, we have to gather together the use of words. So before any comment upon the picture, upon the title, let's start right off on page 1. I think the average Christian connects hell with the devil and fire punishment, probably eternal. Do you picture the devil as this picture by Doré? That is, do you picture him with horns and that kind of a thing? Most people do, because we see him pictured around Halloween with people dressed up like the devil. Have you heard the statement, you will go to a devil's hell? And they say things come from hell, from the devil's origin, and class him as living in hell. Or how about, you are damned and on your way to hell? That's very common. I'm sure you've heard that. Let us get a few things straight. Number 1, the devil is not in hell, nor will he ever be. Now that may shock you, but he hasn't anything to do with it. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So he isn't in hell, he's walking around. And the devil, this is Revelation 20, that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And that is not hell. The lake of fire is one place, hell is another place. And you'll see this as we go along. And you're going to see the statement with at least one verse right now. The lake of fire is not hell. That's point 2. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So it's quite obvious to me that hell and the lake of fire are not one and the same. Not if one is cast into the other. Now, point 3. Early Gentile Christians were converts from idolatry. In Greek mythology, Pluto was the god of hell, and ruled in hell as king, Persephone as queen. Here is a drawing of Pluto kidnapping her. So you see why Christians connect the devil to hell. They get it purely from mythology, not from scripture. And here Pluto, who by the way only came up out of hell twice in his history, and he's taking a wife who becomes the queen of hell, and he's carrying her in his fiery chariot, and you can see the flames to the left coming up out of the earth, and his team of black horses, and he's headed down into his kingdom of the underworld. Now this is mythology, and this is exactly the kind of thing that's taught in the church. 4. Pluto, now watch this, comes from Plutos, meaning wealth or riches. But Pluto had a more sinister name. It was Hades, or Hades in the Greek. Since Pluto, the king of the unseen world, was also Hades, the early Christians connected Hades of Scripture with our hell. So you see, they put them together. Now let me get that straight, see if I can get it so you'll understand it. In Scripture, we have the word Hades. This Greek word Hades occurs many, many times. When the early Christians, Gentiles, coming in from paganism, and they all did, saw Hades, they immediately connected it with the name Pluto. So very early, as Gentile Gentiles became converts, they associated it with the god Pluto. However, our idea of hell comes more from Gehenna. Now, that's a different word. Gehenna, because of references to fire. Now, the word hell from Hades doesn't have any connection, really, with fire, as you'll see. But Gehenna does, and Gehenna is where we really get our idea of a fiery hell. Page 2 and point 5. The translators of the King James translated Hades by hell and Gehenna by hell. The Septuagint translated the Old Testament Hebrew Sheol. Now, notice those letters. You can soon tell Hebrew from Greek. You don't know any of those letters. You see, they're Hebrew letters. But Greek letters in Hades or Gehenna, some of the letters you know. Not all of them, but some of them. By Hades, so that the King James translators again used hell. Now, in other words, in the Old Testament, where Sheol shows up, they sometimes translated it hell because the Septuagint translators translated it by Hades. Sheol and Hades were made equivalent, Hades being the Greek, Sheol being the Hebrew. Thus, all this area of Scripture was put into mythological chaos. You see? That's what I'm telling you. It's put into mythological chaos. Let us see what we can learn from Scripture. First, Sheol in the Old Testament, Hades in the Septuagint. Now, I hope you know what the Septuagint is, but for those who do not, the Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament Scriptures. So we find this Hades, English Hades or Hell, occurs 11 times in the New Testament, but many times in the Old Testament. The equivalent Hebrew word is Sheol, 65 times, translated in King James, 31 times grave, 31 times hell, and pit 3 times. So you see, the translators couldn't make up their mind what to put in. They have grave and hell equally. Now let's kind of think of hell the way you're used to thinking of it for a moment, because perhaps that may be the easier way to explain this. So I'm not going to erase the idea of a fiery hell from your thinking for now. Now, we're going to go to these scriptures in Genesis 37 is the first one. And here you find on this page 7 of them in the Pentateuch, that is, in the five books of Moses. In Genesis 37:35, and I'm going to read this whole passage, and I won't always do this, but let me do it now. Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted, and he said, "For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Now you see that the translators, their opinion became the translation. They decided to use grave in the case of Jacob because it didn't really make too much sense for them to put Jacob in hell, as you can imagine. Since Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are going to be in the kingdom, to stick Jacob in hell didn't make any sense. So they translated it grave. Now, grave is an acceptable translation of Hades, but not hell. Now look at Genesis 42 and verse 38. I'm going to skip a little bit. He said, "My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead. He is left alone. If mischief befall him of the way in which ye go, then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to hell." No, he wasn't going to hell. You're still putting him in hell? No, they translated it grave. You see, they had to get out of it. They knew it was grave. And yet, places they stuck in hell. And that was the great confusion. Genesis 44:29, same kind of a verse. You can read it. Verse 31, same kind of a verse. So they stayed with grave. Perfectly fine. Nothing wrong. I haven't any argument with translating it grave. If Sheol is the hell we think of, Jacob certainly had no fear of going there. Is that correct? Well, sure. If you put hell in all those places, he was going down to hell. And he wasn't afraid of going there, that's sure. But it isn't. It's the grave. All right, now we pick it up again, not now, until Numbers. Way over in, Deuteronomy. I've got Deuteronomy. I've got these kind of out of order. Let's look at Numbers 16:30. But the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that it pertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit. Then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. Now this is at the rebellion of Korah, and number 6 and number 7 in Numbers, those that have the little numbers alongside, see the asterisk, those numbers are right above them. 6 and 7 are pit, and they go down into the pit. This was the rebellion of Korah. The earth opened and swallowed them, and they went down to the hole in the ground. Now you could just as well use grave. They went into their grave. Grave really is the unseen. We'll come to its definition a little bit in a minute. Now Deuteronomy 32:22, for a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn into the lowest hell. Now they decided to put in hell and consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. Now you're in real trouble because the foundations of the mountains are all burning up. You see, you've got figurative language coming in here. Let's go further. These are all the references to Sheol there are in the Pentateuch. In other words, this is all Moses had to go on, all the people of Israel had to go on in regards to hell. That's all they had, if there is a hell. We have three translations, grave, pit, and hell. Now, Gesenius' lexicon, he's the Hebrew writer of the lexicon, shows the word to basically mean a hollow and subterranean place. Davies, another lexicon, shows in addition cavity or cavern, any place, any hole down in the ground, unseen. Thus, all uses in the Pentateuch fit this idea. None of these seven uses have the meaning hell. The American Standard Version tends to play it safe with a transliteration Sheol. Now what can you conclude at the end of page 2? Number 1, Moses knew nothing about the hell you're talking about. Nothing whatsoever. There wasn't anything in the Pentateuch that led him into this. And furthermore, the American Standard Version just left it Sheol because they knew better than to get into this mix-up. Just translating it one way or the other is your opinion, and it isn't worth anything. So it's basically a hollow or a hollow and subterranean place, and grave is very acceptable for that. And you could keep it grave right on through every one of those with no trouble. Now, it's important that I list these. I may not read them all, but it's important that I list them, because here they all are, every use of Sheol in the Old Testament. Now Hannah is speaking, 1 Samuel 2, and this is number 8 use. The Lord killeth and maketh alive, he bringeth down to hell and bringeth up. Now you're saying that God brings you to hell and brings you up. No, they knew it was the grave. It was not any real problem. Look at Samuel when David is speaking, 2 Samuel 22. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. The sorrows of hell? Why, he wasn't even dead. How could the sorrows of hell compass him about? The sorrows of the fact that he had to die into the grave. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. David wasn't even dead. How could it be hell? All right, we go to 1 Kings 2:6. Do therefore according to thy wisdom, and let not his hoar head go down to the grave in peace. Now they put it grave, when David's charge to Solomon in regard to this person who had done him wrong, he said, let not his hoar head go down to the grave in peace, a vindictive charge. Well, maybe he said, let not his hoar head go down to hell in peace. Well, he wouldn't be in peace if he was in hell. They knew better than that, so they made it grave. Now, verse 9, the same way, but his hoar head, just the end of it, bring thou down to the grave with blood. Bring thou down to hell with blood? You see, they knew enough to go to grave, because some of these places, hell looked ridiculous. And so this is the way they shuffle it back and forth. Now, when you come to point 12, I'm going to use the little references, the little numbers. So look at 12. As the cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. Now, there, of course, they were in trouble with hell, but here you're in trouble with the grave if they come up no more. You see, you've got problems you're getting yourself into. 13, it is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell, what canst thou know? Deeper than a grave, an unseen place. That's all he's talking about. You can't write this all in. 14, oh, that thou wouldst hide me in hell? Is that what Job said? If you'd only hide me in hell, thou wouldst keep me secret. He wanted to get to hell. That doesn't make very much sense now, does it? All right, look at number 15. If I wait, the grave is mine house. I have made my bed in the darkness. Look at verse 16. They shall go down to the bars of the pit when our rest together is in the dust. Now they shifted to pit. This is the last of the uses, pit. 17. They spend their days in wealth in a moment, go down to the grave. See? All right, 18. Drought and heat consume the snow waters, so doth the grave those which have sinned. Now we've got them consuming snow waters and the grave consuming those that have sinned. So here you have decomposition, and you had to have graves. You couldn't use hell because it isn't consuming anybody according to our thinking of hell as it's been taught. 19, hell is naked before him and destruction hath no covering. Now hell doesn't have to be hell. So nothing in Job's helps our knowledge of hell at all, nothing there. There are 16 uses of Psalms in Psalms, and here they shuffle these back and forth. And if you take a colored marker, I've marked a sort of an orange color on all the words grave and a green color on all the words hell, so I could keep these separated and look at them. Because you really need to look at them if you're going to come up with any kind of an honest answer. Because if you don't want an honest answer, and 90% of the pastors and their congregations don't want an honest answer. They'd rather not know. They like it the way it is. It brings in more money to teach it the way it is. And why disturb your income? So Psalm 6, 5, for in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? Okay, you can't put hell in there very well, so they didn't. Verse 21, the wicked shall be turned into hell. Now that's where they're going to get even with everybody and all the nations that forget God. All the nations that forget God, the whole nation's going into hell. Well, that's very interesting. But look where the arrow goes across to Psalm 31 and number 25. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed and let them be silent in the grave. Now they changed it to grave. Why didn't they change it to hell? They were turned into hell, according to Psalm 9. Let them be silent in hell. Well, you see, they've got themselves into conflict because they shift back and forth. And I don't know that we have to read all of these, because I think you can read all right. Psalm 16:10, number 22, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. In the grave, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. This becomes a very important one because it's quoted in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ. And number 23, the sorrows of hell, the sorrows of the grave compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. 24, O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. You see how they go back and forth. We read 25, 26, like sheep they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them. Grave was the only word that made sense in these, 27 and 28. 29, let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. There's no reason to go to hell. Let them go down quick into the grave. No reason whatever. You see, you've got them in the grave. See the arrow going right across? In Psalm 31, you've got them in the grave. In Psalm 55, you've got them in hell. Two different places, same word. You don't have that kind of right. That's not translating. That's interpreting. That's putting your opinion into Scripture. Psalm 86, for great is thy mercy, number 30, toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell, lowest grave. What's wrong with that? And 31, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. Back to grave again. And number 32, what man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Grave is the right word for it, and you see it works all the time. Psalm 116:33, that's number 33. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Well, there you go again, just putting it in. 34, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in the grave, what's wrong with grave? Behold, thou art there. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth, number 35. Why not at hell's mouth, as when one cutteth and cleaveth wood? None of these passages have any connection with hell as we understand it. None. The pains of hell are figurative. In no instance thus far have we had any information regarding a hell as we know it. Coming to page 4. You see, I've got these, and you can go back, you can go over these, you can refer to these, because here they all are in front of you. I know it takes up all the way to page 5, but I don't know any other way to get you to look at the use of Sheol or Hades in the Old Testament. And that's where it shows up most of the time. You have to build it, your case, out of the Old Testament. You certainly don't have enough to build it out of the New, as you'll see in a moment. Proverbs 1, number 36, top of page 4. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. Now they had another word, pit, so they had to use grave here. So you see the problem. 37, for the lips of a, better read this whole passage. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. On the grave. Not hell. What's it got to do with hell? Why do you have to put that in there? 38, for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to the grave, going down to the chambers of death. Because this leads men to destruction. Wars come about over women and all this kind of thing. A lot of figurativeness in this passage. All these. You don't just stick hell in there. 39. Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Well, see, hell worked nicely here in Proverbs. And this is where a lot of people like to quote and get their hell operation from. And 40, hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more then the hearts of the children of men? 41, the way of life is above to the wise, and he may depart from hell beneath. And you go to 42, thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. Now that sounds good because, you see, you're assuming he goes to a hell. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Well, you can put grave in, there's no problem. Grave and destruction are never full. There's always room for more graves. The grave, now Proverbs 30, number 44, and the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, it is enough. In Proverbs also, there is no reason for hell instead of grave. No information can be learned about hell. All that you put in there is put in on your imagination. Is it not strange that there is no information on hell in either the Torah or the writings? We come now to the prophets. Well, I didn't really touch on those in Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon. There's one in each of those, and they're both great. Now the prophets, here they are. Isaiah. Therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. The grave has enlarged herself without measure. Why do you have to have hell in there? Gray would fit as well. Come to the margin. The figurative things of prophecy are difficult. If this passage, and we're going way down to the bottom, I haven't read it yet. If this passage has to do with Satan's fall, as many believe, it would, in my opinion, prove that Satan does not operate hell, as is often taught. Here it is. Look at Isaiah 14. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. And the prophecy is very difficult. Go to verse 11. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave. Now they went to grave. Why not to hell? Why not be consistent? And the noise of thy vials. 12. Now, this is the one they say refers to Lucifer and refers to Satan. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? I'm not saying it doesn't, but watch it. How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Well, we know that he's going to be cast in the lake of fire. How do you get him into hell? Into the grave. All figurative language, prophetic language, is extremely difficult. And to draw conclusions of your hell out of prophetic passages is extremely dangerous. Look at Isaiah 28:15. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell we are in agreement. And skip to 18. And your agreement with hell shall not stand. Now, how in the world do you make an agreement with hell? How do you do that? We have gained no further information. You see, it's just getting in deeper. In other words, you may pick out one little isolated verse and make it apply nicely to your fiery hell. But you can't take the overall picture and make it work. It just doesn't. And they knew that, and that's why half the time they had to go to grave. They were forced that way. Isaiah 38, top of page 5, you've got grave. Number 54, again you've got grave. Then all of a sudden, 55, you go back to hell. Thou wentest to the king with ointment, didst increase thy perfumes, didst send thy messengers far off, and didst debase thyself even unto hell. Well, that hardly makes sense at all as hell. I don't know what that's saying. And then you go to Ezekiel, number 59. The strong among the mighty shall speak to him out of the midst of hell. That's strange. You're going to be able to talk out of hell. 60. And they shall not lie with the mighty that are fallen of the uncircumcised, which are gone down to hell with their weapons of war. Well, that's interesting. They took all their weapons of war down with them. I don't know how. How do you get them all down in there? So you see, you get yourself into a lot of problems. Let me turn my tape right here. Thank you.